today on Compassion Radio.
And Peter just stands up and all the apostles replied, we have to obey God. We have to please him before we please man. And then he goes into the whole story of you had Jesus arrested, but God raised him from the dead. And he is the one God has exalted and seated at his right hand as our Savior and champion. I love that.
Yeah. They're proclaiming the truth of the resurrection, which is a big sticking point with all of the religious authorities of the day. There was still a big argument whether or not there was a nihilism, that people never come up from the grave again, or that there is some kind of true life after death. Mm-hmm. That was still a big raging debate within Judaism.
This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. You know, when you spend your life looking for Jesus around every corner, he's bound to show up. And when he does, it's safe to say that he'll be bringing powerful ministry opportunities with him. And friends, that means your chance to be a part of something that will count for eternity. I'm Frank Montenegro, and today we're bringing you the next installment of a series called Chasing the Word, where Bram and his wife Sandy are taking a look at the historical mission of the Christian Church. Here's Bram and Sandy to start things off.
Sandy, welcome back on the program. We're going to talk more about this series we've started the past few weeks called Chasing the Word Together.
I'm excited about it.
Now, last week we ended with the horrifying story of Ananias and Sapphira, but at the same time realizing that there's something glorious going on here, that even in the face of great rebellion and fraud, as you said last week, that God was still on his throne and he made things right quickly. I think it's mostly because the body was ready to hear him speak.
Right.
Now, if there had been half the people in that room that were thinking the same thoughts as Ananias and Sapphira about maybe skimming off the top or withholding a gift from God but claiming they were giving everything, if the whole body of believers had gotten used to that kind of behavior, would this kind of event have happened? I doubt it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I would think that the Holy Spirit would have been far away from that place at that point. But somehow, he was drawn very close and made very clear that his holiness was never questioned, it was never going to be compromised.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And some chose rebellion and paid a horrible price for that.
Right.
I can only hope that they were redeemed in their death and saved somehow. I mean, I would hope that. I wouldn't want hell for anybody, but this seems like one of those damnation kind of stories.
Mm-hmm.
So there was awe, there was wonder, and there was great fear. And then we start this next part of chapter 5. The very next verse says,
those were amazing days.
Yeah, what a great start.
Right.
I want to talk about amazing days. So let's dig into those scriptures. You want to read some of those for us?
Sure. Those were amazing days, with many signs and wonders being performed through the apostles among the people. The church would gather as a unified group in Solomon's porch, enjoying great respect by the people of the city, though most people wouldn't risk publicly affiliating with them. Even so, record numbers of believers, both men and women, were added to the Lord. The church's renown was so great that when Peter walked down the street, people would carry out their sick relatives, hoping that his shadow would fall on some of them as he passed. Even people from towns surrounding Jerusalem would come, bringing others who were sick or tormented by unclean spirits. All of them were cured.
All of them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this sounds really impressive to me because in the entire ministry of Jesus, going town to town, we know that he often went to people who asked him to come. He never compelled anyone to come to him, but he did pretty much everything people asked of him as far as healing goes. I can't think of many places at all where he refused to do something.
Right.
He was prevented a couple of times because of the lack of faith, but he was willing.
Right.
In this case, the Holy Spirit is so overarchingly willing that even just the presence of Peter on the street was enough. His shadow would just touch people and boom, the power of God was there.
Well, the scripture does say, Jesus tells the disciples, you will do greater works than I have done. So we see that this is actually happening. The greater works are happening. I mean, just by Peter's presence, like you said, people are healed and cured of diseases.
So he is very happy to be in this day of Jubilee with his entire fellowship of believers in Jerusalem, and it was overflowing.
Mm-hmm.
So many of these folks being healed along the road, I'm sure, were not part of the family.
Mm-hmm.
I'm certain that the hunger for a healing without any cost was still a very human thing, but there was still desperation.
Sure. Yeah.
As you and I talked before about the ministry of Jesus, there seems to be not much difference between desperation and courage.
Mm-hmm.
That we become courageous and go for the big thing when we have nothing left to lose. And so these people are coming out to the curb, hoping for something to happen, and it was. Everybody, any person. Now, that's a big statement to me.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't just touching Jesus personally. The shadow was enough.
Right.
Which again tells me this is once removed. It's not the hands of Jesus physically that healed anybody. It was the power of the living God residing in him that did.
Mm-hmm.
And now we know that doubly because it's literally leaping over to others through the shadow and curing them. That's how big God wanted to make his mark.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a beautiful picture to me.
He's pursuing people.
Yeah.
It's just like the Holy Spirit is spilling out of them and pursuing the broken and the hurt all around him.
And in verse 17 it says, of course, this popularity elicited a response.
Of course it
Not
did.
Not necessarily a positive one.
Right.
The high priest and his affiliates in the Sadducean party were very jealous, and they arrested the apostles and put them in public prison. But that night, a messenger of the Lord opened the doors of the prison and led them to freedom. Now, we hear a story about Peter being let out of prison. That happens later in this book.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first time we know about God picking locks.
Right. So this messenger was a busy guy.
His messenger had a lock-picking kit.
I think so.
So this angel was his specialty, seemed to be opening doors and bringing people out. And beyond that, of course, when they discovered that they were not in the cell, they were mystified because the guards were still there.
Right.
And they had the door locked. They went down to pull them out for more inquisition, and they opened the door, and they're not there.
Right. And the angel tells them before they leave the prison, hey, go back to the temple and preach the gospel.
Back at it, boys. So there they go. And then somebody runs into this meeting with all of these mystified officials saying, those guys you just arrested, they're over here preaching on the other side of the hill. Have you not seen them? This has got to be a completely discombobulating experience for all those in authority.
Well, it says they don't know what to make of it. So then the captain of the guard goes with the temple guards over to where the disciples are preaching the gospel, and they arrest them, all of them.
Again.
This could be the 12. It could be the 12 plus whoever else is there with them, but I can see it's a bunch of them.
Right. It's a mass arrest. They sent out the riot guards.
So they take them before the council, and they said, didn't we tell you to knock it off, basically?
Yeah.
We tell you to stop talking about Jesus. But instead, you have now filled all of Jerusalem with this doctrine and are committed to holding us responsible for this man's death. You can talk about whatever you want, but you're blaming
us. Look bad.
You're making us look bad. Yeah.
That begs the question. They brought up the whole crucifixion of Jesus again, which we know is at the core of the gospel. Because when we preach Christ, we have to preach him not just risen. We have to preach him crucified, which is our sin put him there.
Mm-hmm.
But they have now identified with the act. So the disciples, now apostles, turn right back around and say, you're right. You killed him.
Mm-hmm.
Own up to it. Because we are, in fact, preaching a Christ crucified.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't know what to do with that. It's not a rebellion anymore. They're accusing them of the murder of Jesus because they implicated themselves in the murder of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
If they kept their mouth shut, they would have been part of the problem. But instead, they just couldn't not say it.
Right.
You're making us look bad. You think these people want to believe that we're murderers? And they respond with, well, your words, not mine, basically.
Right, right. But what I love about this is that they don't just say, well, we can't not talk about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
They do say that, but they use this as an opportunity to share the gospel, even there in this
front of
council.
Them. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Peter just stands up, and all the apostles replied, we have to obey God. We have to please him before we please man. And then he goes into the whole story of you had Jesus arrested, but God raised him from the dead. Yeah. And he is the one God has exalted and seated at his right hand as our Savior and champion. I love that.
Yeah. They're proclaiming the truth of the resurrection, which is a big sticking point with all of the religious authorities of the day. There was still a big argument whether or not there was a nihilism, that people never come up from the grave again, or that there is some kind of true life after death.
Mm-hmm.
That was still a big raging debate within Judaism.
Yeah.
They're proclaiming it is, in fact, the latter.
He rose from the dead, for sure. Then they say, we are witnesses of these things. We have actually seen these things. You can't deny our story. And that's what I love about this, because it's so important for our listeners to know and to hear this, that your story
matters.
Matters.
We say it all the time, and we mean it deeply, because if we have a story to tell, it's a God story.
Mm-hmm.
The people that we report on everywhere we go, these are God stories of God at work through these people that need him desperately, and these people are there to do extraordinary things, but they're not doing them in their own power. They're not doing them with their own skill.
Mm-hmm.
They're just being available.
I think it's important to note here, too, because right after that, when Peter is saying, this is our story, this is our experience, you can't put that aside because it's the real thing, it's really the truth. Right after that, It says, when they heard these things in the council, they were infuriated by
yes.
it. Someone is not going to like your story. Someone is
quite
going
possibly.
To be cut to the quick by your story. It is still your story. It's still a God story, and it needs to be told.
And in the situation, they couldn't help themselves but to tell the story themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't want to be involved with this gospel story, yet even the priests and the temple officials start the story.
Right.
And they implicate themselves in even saying it. So they have now cornered themselves, but they've given testimony to the fact that Jesus did suffer these things.
Mm-hmm.
They're not escaping their culpability for it, and now they're stuck, and that's got a rage going on in their hearts. So
mm-hmm.
they determine to kill him.
You're listening to Compassion Radio. Coming up next, more biblical insight on the historical mission of the Christian Church.
It was Desmond Tutu who said, "Hope is being able to see that there is light despite all of the darkness." Friends, this is Bram Floria, and I'd like to tell you about a wonderful opportunity for you to help some of the most at-risk people in the world, children and infants. To bring them out of the darkness of destitution and abandonment and into the hope of a bright future and a better life. It's Store of Hope in Johannesburg, South Africa, and it's seen thousands adopted, fostered, or even reclaimed by family members who had originally abandoned them. The good news is that there are already two very successful baby houses in existence, and our Compassion Radio partners like you had a big part in making those happen in the past. But we all know that babies don't stay babies forever, and that's why Door of Hope, in partnership with Compassion Radio, is seeking again this year to continue the construction of Hope Village. This transformational project will feature a large park playground, a school even, a church, a farm, and will eventually be completely self-sustaining. The kind and loving staff at Hope Village will provide each and every child with spiritual training and education, as well as a marketable skill to use when they grow up. Your financial gift will help ensure that each of these little ones has a chance at a bright and successful future. So please, pray and ask God how He would have you help. When you give, you'll be changing the eternal destiny of one child or more, desperately in need of hope right now. And here's the best part. For the first time ever, we have a special challenge grant on this project of $4,000 for this month, which means every dollar you give is going to be doubled if you will give now. Please call us at 1-800-868-2478 during business hours Pacific time or go to CompassionRadio.com to give right away. You can also write us at P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California 92859. Again, that's 1-800-868-2478 or go to CompassionRadio.com. And our mailing address again is P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California 92859. And if you've got a smartphone or a tablet, just text the word KIDS to 53445. That's the word KIDS, K-I-D-S, to 53445. Thank you again for your willingness to be part of what God is doing in the lives of these children and infants in South Africa through the 2019 Compassion Radio Door of Hope Project. God bless you.
Celebrating 75 years in Christian broadcasting, this is Compassion Radio.
Spirit inside. You poured out all your blood. You died upon the cross. You are my Jesus who loves me. You poured out all your blood. You died upon the cross. You are my Jesus who loves me.
Someone is not going to like your story. Someone is going to be cut to the quick by your story. It is still your story. It's still a God story, and it needs to be told.
And in the situation, they couldn't help themselves but to tell the story themselves. Mm-hmm, they didn't want to be involved with this gospel story, yet even the priests and the temple officials start the story.
Right.
And they implicate themselves in even saying it. So they have now cornered themselves. But they've given testimony to the fact that Jesus did suffer these things.
Mm-hmm.
They're not escaping their culpability for it, and now they're stuck, and that's got a rage going on in their hearts. So mm-hmm. they determine to kill him. One man stands up to stop the slaughter,
mm-hmm.
and his name is Gamaliel,
right?
One of the religious people. But he makes a really interesting case in the minutes to follow. So all the disciples have stepped out of the chamber. Somebody obviously is still in the room as a witness because we have the record of it.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens inside that room?
Well, Gamaliel stands up and he says, send the apostles out because I have something to say. He is highly respected.
Yeah.
And
he's an elder.
Right. This translation says he was a religious professor. So he was a teacher.
Right.
And had many students. And we'll find out later that Paul was one of his students.
Yes, he is.
But he stands up and he says to the council, men of Israel, you need to be very careful about how you deal with these men. Some time ago, there was a man named Theudas who rose up claiming to be somebody. He had a following of about 400 men, but when he was killed, all of his followers scattered, and nothing came of it. Then after him, in the days of census, another man rose up called Judas the Galilean, who got people to follow him in a revolt. He too perished, and all of those who followed him scattered. So in this situation, you should just leave these men to themselves. For if this plan or undertaking originates with men, it will fade away and come to nothing. But if this movement is of God, you won't be able to stop it. And you might discover that you're fighting God all along. So Gamaliel's words convinced the council. They brought the apostles back in and had them severely beaten. Flogged, I think, was another translation. They ordered them never again to speak the name of Jesus and to let them go. And this is the part we loved so much. The apostles left there rejoicing, thrilled that God had considered them worthy to suffer disgrace for the name of Jesus, and nothing stopped them. They kept preaching every day in the temple courts and went from house to house, preaching the gospel of Jesus, God's anointed son.
Now, the thing that stumped me about this story was the parallelism. Usually you tell a story and say, this story is like that story.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of stuck on the actors that were being described in the story. Gamaliel talks about Theudas and Judas in these early years. In fact, the second rebellion he talks about was happening in Galilee about the time that Jesus was born.
Right.
So during the times of the census. And so everyone knows these rebellions were going on at the time.
Mm-hmm.
People were hypersensitive to the history of this whole thing. And they assume that these people are coming from the same kind of tradition. Now, in this case, I had in my mind that the reference point for Gamaliel for the third rebellion in question here was Peter and the apostles.
Mm-hmm.
And you brought back the implication here that it wasn't about them at all. It was about him bringing up the name of Jesus.
Right.
So Jesus is the third character here.
Mm-hmm.
And he's describing the result of him already being killed and how the response and the reaction of his disciples has been vastly different
Correct.
Than previous rebellions.
Right.
And I'm buying into your definition, honey. I think this is exactly what he's talking about. This is Gamaliel describing Jesus as something of a different cloth altogether.
Mm-hmm.
And his people, his disciples, his apostles now, being a different breed of people.
Right. There's something different about what's happening here. Their leader is gone.
Yeah. And they're not scattering.
They're not leaving. In fact, they're growing by the thousands.
Right.
So I think Gamaliel, we don't know this, but maybe he was beginning to buy in, because I think we're going to read later in the book of Acts that there were many leaders from the temple that came to a belief in Jesus.
This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. If you missed anything today, you can listen again anytime. Just open up a browser on your computer, smartphone, or tablet and go to CompassionRadio.com. And while you're there, go ahead and take a moment to find out more about this ministry. Again, it's CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you liked what you heard, please consider supporting Compassion Radio. First, with your prayers. When you pray for us, God increases the effectiveness of this ministry by empowering the Compassion Radio team for service and by opening doors of opportunity for us to be a blessing to the body of Christ. Second, please share this broadcast with a friend or loved one. This will help us reach as many people as possible with the important work God is doing in the lives of those who live in a missional way. And finally, please consider supporting this ministry financially. Compassion Radio is 100% listener-supported. That means it's your gifts that make it possible for us to continue. You can support Compassion Radio right now by calling 800-868-2478 or by visiting CompassionRadio.com. When you're there, just click on the Donate button. Again, it's 800-868-2478 or CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you'd like to show your support using your smartphone or tablet, you can just text the word COMPASSION to 53445. That's the word COMPASSION to 53445. And of course, you can always mail your gift to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California 92859. Thanks again so very much for taking the time out of your busy day to listen. And please be sure to join us again for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Ventures Incorporated and your generous financial support.
Hello, friends. This is Bram Floria, president of Compassion Radio. Everything we do is done with the intent to build you up in the Christian faith and to give you opportunities to help build the kingdom around the world. All through the month of March, we have the great privilege of celebrating our 75th anniversary. It's hard to believe that this unique radio ministry has been on the air for 75 years. Even more amazing, Compassion Radio is the only completely listener-supported radio program on the air this long. We are not funded by a huge church organization or wealthy benefactor. You are our church, our sending agency, and our partners. I know that God has been working through you to make it possible for us to do this work each and every day. Right now, I want to offer you a special opportunity. If this broadcast has ever challenged you in your faith, inspired you to serve, or encouraged you in any way to do better in your walk with God, please let us know right now by supporting this daily radio ministry and the international mission projects of Compassion Radio with your prayers and with your financial support. Please, friends, reach out today to show us that support as we celebrate 75 years of broadcasting a message of hope found in Christ alone. If you're able to invest with a one-time, or better yet, a regular monthly gift, it will go a long, long way to making sure we remain on the air for another 75 years. You can reach us by calling 1-800-868-2478 or by visiting CompassionRadio.com. When you're there, just click the Donate button at the top. Again, our toll-free number is 1-800-868-2478, and our website is CompassionRadio.com. And new for this year, you can give right through your phone. Just text the word COMPASSION to 53445. That's the word COMPASSION to 53445. And of course, you can always mail your gift to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California 92859. That's Box 2770, Orange, California 92859. A final word about our current Door of Hope project. This month's special matching grant of $4,000 is well underway, so please get a hold of us right away to make sure we meet that goal this month. Thanks so much for your prayerful consideration. We hope to hear from you soon.